Yeah, and I just know what God will do for a hopeless life. I know what he'd do, because there was a time in my life I was hopeless. Nowhere to run, no one to run to. And God showed up. I cried out, and he showed up and showed out in my life. All right. Well, I'm going to pray. Father, I ask, Lord, that you anoint these lips of clay on tonight, Father God, Lord, that the message would be heard and someone would be set free tonight, Father God. Help us, Lord, to hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you, Father God. Just have your way on this night, Father God. And we'll be careful, Father, to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. We're going to read a story tonight. We're going to read a story. This is a story about a young man who was blessed and didn't even understand he was blessed. He thought he had to cheat his way through. He thought he had to lie. He thought he had to trick. And all these kind of things. And then when he felt like the tables turned on him, he did what most people do that have that mindset. He let the coward in him show up, and he ran. He ran to hide. And we're going to take this story up here where his brother was in hiding. And we're going to talk a couple points that are going to be brought out in this guy's life, because I see myself in this man. And I see myself in the adventure that God has brought me through. So we're going to read. And then we're going to go. We're going to open up a little bit here. The guy's name is Jacob. It said, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. The angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said this. He said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau. See, because what's going on now, Jacob had tricked his brother Esau. Esau was the older brother. He tricked him out of his birthright. He had cheated him along the way more than once. He'd always cheated him and cheated him. And now when he got caught up, Esau was red hot and was looking for him. And Jacob took off. Now this is some years later, because now Jacob's living in another land away. Now some years later, he hears that Esau's coming. And he's got 400 men with him. Now, I got to share this story. This is a small, short story. I was a dope fiend. I was a liar and a thief. But I was a good athlete. You know, not like the guy he's hobbling in front of. A great athlete, matter of fact. And I can remember a time where I ripped this guy off for some money. And he's a big guy. And he chased me, but he couldn't catch me. And did like Jacob. God in the wind, he couldn't catch me. But here's this thing. Years later, God had changed my life. He had changed my heart. He had opened doors. He had enlightened me. He had put his Holy Spirit down inside of me to live, to teach me how to live and those things. But now, just like all of us, there's human wreckage left behind. When you made a mess. See, I'm not confused about the human wreckage I left behind. See, Marvin, when I came back to Fort Wayne, I got out of prison, I came back, I wasn't confused that there were probably two or three guys really wanting to see me. You know what I mean? I wasn't confused about that. So now I got my life together, and I had got a girl in my life who I was really, really in love with, you know, and she's in the church. She's an aspiring missionary. At that time, I had got ordained as a minister. Now, I hadn't seen this guy in I don't know how many years, but we were up to church one Sunday. I got on my little suit, and I've got my girl on my arm, you know. And I look up in Golden Corral, and there's this guy, this big football player. But he's got his back to me. He doesn't see me. Oh, something in my stomach kicked for just a second. Ah, see, because, you know, I know I had got him pretty good. And I know he was hot when he couldn't catch me. He was screaming all kind of obscenities as he was chasing me. And when he stopped the rest, I would stop the rest. And he would tell me, I'm going to get you, you so-and-so. And I'd give him the finger. Ah! You know me? Because I knew I was a better athlete, a better runner. I can't sit back. And he come back again. So I take off again. I look back and he's slowing down. I slow down. but you know, you can look back at these things and laugh. I'm not so saved that I can't laugh at the stupidness of the idiocy of the things I had done. But anyway, here I go on the golden corral, and I got this woman who thanks the world of me. I got this woman on my arm that believes I can protect her from anything. I got this woman on my arm that knows I'm the one. I'm going to be her husband. I'm the protector. I'm this big guy. And so now when I see him, my stomach jumps. I look down at her because she's smiling. She has no idea. I'm thinking, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So the first thing I do, because now I wasn't so destitute, I had a few dollars in my wallet. So the first thing I do is I go in my wallet and pull my wallet out, and I start pulling out a few dollars and ball up my hand. See, now I tell her, I don't know what the story I gave, but I say, hey, go get some sick, and I'll be back. I'm going to go over here and speak. And she should have knew something, because usually I was proud of her. I always want to show her off and brag, but I showed something. Hey, go over there. You know, because if I was going to get pummeled, I didn't want her to see me get pummeled. You know, and that's the insidious of the disease. But anyway, so I go behind him. I'm getting to him, man. I'm cringing up, man. I know I'd be walking slow. And I go up behind him, and I tap him. He says, and he looks at the double look. You know that double look. So now, and in my heart, that fight or flight. Marvin, the fight or flight came because I wasn't no bad athlete. I could fight pretty good. But this guy's twice my size, half my age. You know, this might be a problem. But so I look at him right quick. I say, hey, man, how you doing? I say, hey, I just wanted to say, man, I'm sorry for what happened, and I just want to buy you dinner tonight. He looked again, and he reached out. I thought he was going to try to swing or something, so I kind of stepped back, but he grabbed me and he hugged me. He hugged me. He pulled me to him. He said, man, you don't owe me nothing. He said, I heard you doing good, man. He said, man, you keep doing what you're doing. You know, I wasn't confused about the human record I left behind. But the battle belongs to the Lord. And here's a guy here, Jacob, as he's running, he remembered that human wreckage that he left behind. He knew his brother Esau had reason to want to kick the snot out of him when he catches him. And now Esau is on his way. And he's got 400 men. Now Jacob, he got two wives that we know about, Leah and Rachel. He got the two wives, and he got the kids, and he got all these servants and stuff. So he says, I got an idea. God, we tell God our ideas and he laughs. You know, his plan, his ways are not our ways. He's got a way of escape. He said, no temptation that seizes you except what's common to man. But God is faithful. And when you are tempted, he provides a way out that you may escape under it. We got to understand, you give your life to God, give your life to God all the way. Trust him in all those things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in the natural, me and him are supposed to knock food over and everything up in Golden Corral. We supposed to be on the floor tussling. But God had a different plan. And this is Jacob's story. That's why I see a lot of myself in Jacob. And as we go on, it says, he said, and Jacob sent messengers before him, Esau's brother, unto the land of Seir and the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. The servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen, asses, flocks, men servants, women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau also, and he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. He bringing 400 soldiers. These cats wasn't nothing to play with. These cats on their way. And then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and camels into two bands. And he said, if Esau come to thee, to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, The Lord which, excuse me, says unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. See, he was going back because God had told him to go back. See, Pam had God had sent him back, said go back, because he may have never went back. You know what I mean? He may have never went back because he was afraid. He had done wrong. He was happy living where he was, but the calling for him was not there. The calling God had on his life was back with his home and back with his kindred and back with his folks. So God said, you go on back. See, God didn't tell him, I'm going to whoop this dude. I'm going to fix it. He just said, you go on back. See, God may be speaking to somebody's heart today and saying, you're going back into the land in which I brought you out of. Because there are people still lost there and they need to be delivered. They need to see your life. They need to know that God can change you from a nothing to a something. God can take a little of nothing and make something out of your life. You might need to see that thing. So God may be calling you. And you may be having doubts saying, well, I don't want to go there. It's not about you. Your life has been bought with a price. It's not about what you want to do. If you trust him, then you've got to trust him. It says, I am not, and this is Jacob speaking, he said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, of all the truth, which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I have become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and this and the mother of the children. See, we got to tell God where we are. God knows. We got to let him know, hey, Lord, I'm scared right here. I've never been here. I mean, the Bible says, Lord, doesn't give a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, truth, and of a sound mind. But sometimes you got to be honest with him. You got to let God know where you are because he already knows. You know, I'm not afraid today to tell God, Lord, I have a little fear in this, Lord. Yeah. You know, I'm supposed to go back to work here pretty soon. My balance is still off. I don't have the strength of my leg that I should have. But I got a family. And I promised God if he gave me this family, I would take care of my family. Bob, and I told him I would do it. I would take care of my family with his help. So I don't know. I'm supposed to go back to the doctor tomorrow. And I got this walker. But I don't know that I maybe put that walker down and start on a cane. I'm supposed to be turning to work this week, but I don't know that I'll be able to make it like this. But I trust God.
Amen.
Because the word says, for whom God calls, he qualifies. And for whom he qualifies, he justifies. For whom he justifies, he glorifies. So when you know that, then I go with no fear. Whatever it is, it just is. Now, let me continue reading. Yeah, you got to excuse me. I get a little excited when I look back at my life and see where God has brought me from. Don't make me cut the rug. I mean, I've been took off down this lane and cut a step. Lord, thank you.
Praise God.
He said, and thou sayest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multiply. And he lodged there that same night and took up that which came to his hand as a present for Esau. So now he's going to put a present together. He goes, like, I've got the little money out of my wallet. I said, maybe these few dollars might soften these blows. It might change his mind. So he going to put a little prize together because he don't want to take this wrath that he brought on himself in his own life. See, because we can't blame Esau. We'd be easy to say, my brother, but sometimes we invite that stuff into our lives. You know what the Bible says? You will reap what you sow. It says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. So a man soweth, that also shall he reap. So we can't complain about things we invite in our life. He bought this in his life. Now he sees the wrath coming, and he's human. See, we know the end of the story. So sometimes we minimize that fear in him. Sometimes we minimize what the situation really looked like. But he was a man just like us. He thinks these 400 men are coming to slaughter him. This is what his mind said, saying to him. Now he got his wife and his kids here and everything, and he doesn't think he can even protect them. So it says, he took 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 mules, no, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she asses, and 10 foals. Mm-hmm. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves and said unto his servants, pass over before me. See, like he said, he's going to put some space between him. And, hey, Pam, he's going to put some space between him and Esau. He hoping all go well. But he's going to put that space. He's going to throw that chair. I hope Esau trip over before he get to him. He put some space between him. You know, he's a human being. He's scared. Yeah. You got to realize he's scared.
Yeah.
And he said, pass over before me and put a space betwixt, drove and drove. I want y'all to separate all this stuff. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau, my brother, meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my Lord Esau, and behold also he is behind us. And so commanded he that the second and third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when you find him. And ye are moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Preadventure, he will accept me. I'm hoping he take all the stuff I sent to him and he accept me. I hope this peace offering is just enough. See, but that's his way. But God already had a plan.
He had a plan.
I'm telling you, you're on your way somewhere and you think it's going to be because your family got a little money and they're going to buy a lawyer, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, but God's already got a plan. Save your money. Save your money. God's got a plan. If you call on the name of the Lord, save your money because he's got you. He's got a plan that doesn't take nothing, that requires nothing of you, but to follow the steps he's asked you to do. That's all that it takes of you. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. Now he sent them over first, but he stayed back. He stayed back and said, and he rose up in that night and took his two wives. Now get this. He rose up in that night and he took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. He even sent his family. I don't know, Barbara, if you come to beat me up, I don't know that I'm going to send my wife to the door. That's just a whooping I'm going to have to take. You know what I mean? So I thank God that he took the coward out of me. Because there was a time in my life where you would knock on my door and I'd be hiding in the kitchen and I would send my woman, hey baby, see who that is. Tell him I'm not here. Because I was living any kind of way and I was wrong. But when God saved my life, now when somebody knock on that door, ring that bell, I say, baby, I got it. Because anything come up in this house has got to come to me first. So I don't fear that no more. And that's because of the Lord that lives in me. He raised up a standard in me. He made up a man in me. Okay, and it says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now this man was the angel of the Lord. See, the angel of the Lord was already there to meet him. See, he didn't know this. See, we know the after story, but he didn't know this angel was going to be there. He didn't know anything about this, but this is all going on. God stepped right in the midst of his plan to bring him forth out of this thing. It said, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, the angel got mad there. What did he get mad? But the angel said, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for thy day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Jacob had enough sense to know that I'm at my wit's end. I'm not letting go of this no matter what. See, you got to get tough like that. When it looks like you might be getting violated, when it looks like you and your girl having problems, when it looks like the money's not coming, that job you want is not there, when it looks like the car, you've got to hold on to what God has promised you. Get the thread of his garment and just hold on to the hem of it. You got to trust and believe in what he's saying. So Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go. Say you bless me. He said, I'd rather take this whooping, even crippled. And he said unto him, the angel said unto him, here's where the blessing comes. Angel, he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Jacob means liar, trickster, prankster, supplanter. Every time somebody said, Jacob, they were saying, hey, supplanter. Hey, usurper, liar, prankster. All his life, he had been known as this thing. So that's what he answered to all of his life. How many of you have been known as a dope fiend or a dope dealer or a prostitute or a thief or whatever you've been known as? All your life, you've been called those things. Society has put you in a box and put you in this thing, and this is what you are. And so this is the first thing you see when you look at yourself in the mirror. When you, that's why I asked you first. You say, you may look at yourself, I may be a mess, but. I may be a mess, but. I'm not that no more. I'm not thing that doesn't live in me. I may have done what you said I've done, but I'm not who you say I am. You got to take hold of the promises of God, and you got to believe in it, and you got to stand on it. When he looked at me, he said, my name is Jacob. And he said, thy name shall, the angel's talking now. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. He said, no more will you be called a dope dealer. No more will you be called a whore, prostitute. No more will you be called a thief. You're a man of God. You're a wife. You're a sister. You're a brother.
Yeah.
You're a son. You're a father. You're a mother. Yeah. You're no longer called by those things. Those things will no longer hold you hostage.
Yeah.
But you got to hold on, and you got to believe in that thing. Amen. You got to hold on and walk out just because you don't see it. You got to stand firm. See, here's what I know about Jacob. Let me say this, that name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. But you know, for the rest of Jacob's life, Jacob walked with a limp. See, God's going to bring you to a new normal. You may have been a gang leader at one time. You may have been a knockout artist at one time. You may have been a straight shooter at one time. You may have been a bully at one time. You may have been the prettiest girl in the cat house at one time. You may have been the best thief at one time. You may have had the best connection at one time. But God takes all that from you. And sometimes when that stuff gets taken from you, you feel crippled. You feel like you're no longer who you were. But you're not no longer who you were. You're not no longer who you were. You got to walk in your deliverance. You got to walk in your newness of life. You may come out with a limp, but that don't matter. You may come out with a broken hand and ball of fist, but none of that matters. God is going to make it that you can feed your family. He's going to make it so that you can walk it out. He's going to make it so that you're not only going to come out, but somebody's going to come out behind you. Because
yeah.
Like Pam's father used to tell me all the time, it's one thing better than going to heaven. I have to ask you, what's that? What's better than going to heaven, Pam?
Taking someone with you.
Taking somebody with you. And God's going to use somebody sitting in this room who never thought you'd be used by God. God's going to bring somebody right behind you, on your coattail, on your crown.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you. No matter what, in the morning when you get up, you look in that mirror, and you say, you know what? I may look a mess. But God loves me. I may look a mess, but God has called me. I may look a mess, but I'm God's preacher.
Yeah.
I may look a mess, but I'm God's minister. I may look a mess, but I'm God's messenger.
Yeah.
And you walk out your deliverance. You do what God has called you to do.
Yeah.
That's why I thank you for listening. Pam, you got anything you want to add or say? All right, well, we're gonna pray. Anybody got anything that they want to say? Any questions? Now, listen, break for us. Hey, if you're just 1 second, Sam. If you are a mentor in this program, please raise your hand. We will always be here. Stop and talk. We never in that big a hurry to get out this door. Stop and talk and say, look, Lord, tell me what must I do to be saved? Somebody will walk it through. We'll all go through with you. Yes, Sam.
Well, I just, maybe you guys mentioned this in the meeting, but I really have the desire to add that the divine mercy of Jesus is bottomless, and he wants each of us for himself. And his divine mercy is something that he said, the greater the sinner, the greater his right to my mercy.
Amen. 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 Anybody else got anything they want to add before we get out of here tonight? Yes, sir.
So glad to hear that message. I don't ever want to hear that I'm a drug dealer or a drug user or a dope fiend the rest of my life.
Amen. Amen. They may.
I'm sick of people telling me in recovery you're gonna be a drug addict the rest of your life. You're a drug addict. That's what you are. You're just gonna have to be that the rest of your life. You don't have to be.
Nope.
God
will deliver you.
I love
it. God, to whom the Lord, who the Son set free is what?
Free indeed.
Free is what? Free who the Son set free is free indeed. See, you know, and I'm going to say something. I go to Narcotics Anonymous. I'm an avid member of Narcotics Anonymous. I speak sometimes over there. And when I go there, I will say, my name is Lot, and I'm an addict. You know why I say that? Because I'm no longer an addict.